The Carmel Greyhounds are back in action, and so is the WHJE sports team. But this year is better than ever. John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the same expertise with a new sense of style. We're taking this football season to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are just about ready to start the fourth quarter of what has been a fantastic game. Everything is advertised, absolutely. 21-21 is your score heading into the last quarter of play. Trinity has the ball at the 34-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds, having a little bit of fun right now out there with the field goal challenge where they put the fan out there before the start of this quarter. But, John, what do both these teams need to do to come out here with a victory?
Personally, I think that Trinity really needs to lock down on defense here. The Greyhounds have done a good job of coming out with a lot of momentum and maybe a little too much. You got to give Bonifon the ball because he's doing a great job when he gets it. You know, he's able to air it out and hit his receiver as well. So I think the key to victory is if the Trinity defense can maintain itself, they will pull out the victory. But if the Carmel Greyhound offense can score some more points here, then they will be the winners victorious here.
They're going to come out five wide set. He has three over towards his left from the Carmel 34-yard line. It's about a second and six situation. Team switch sides to give you a visual. They are going towards the right side. Bonifon off the screen to Ott. Can't wrap him up right there, and he's going to have the first down of more. Off to the races. Into the red zone, down at about the 9-yard line is C.J. Ott for Trinity.
Tackle finally made there by Noah Burks, number four. Burks has been really active this game as a sophomore. He's come in hot, playing that linebacker position. But, hey, just another great testament to the playability of C.J. Ott, that receiver we talked about. He's just that sneaker guy. And even last game against Nashville, coming up big, really just doesn't attract a lot of attention. And he comes up big for Trinity every single time. That's something we talked about. Good job of Bonifon to hit him as well.
Shamrocks again come out in a five wide set. A little bit of confusion among receivers. They have four over towards his left. They're going to put Brooks over in motion. Back into the backfield. True shotgun. Now four wide. Takes the snap. Looking to pass. Going over towards the screen. Finds Swabek. Trying to get into the end zone, but he's going to be stopped just short there. Good job by Mitch Lindgren getting in there on the tackle.
And again, Swabek kind of going like Austin Roberts tonight. They've both been really quiet, but when they get the ball, something has happened. For the most part. Now, Swabek, granted, has done a better job of that than Roberts tonight, at least. But a good job of Bonifon to really utilize those wide receiver screens and get those short yards completions.
Will be a second and goal from about the Carmel 3 or 4 yard line. An I formation, one wide out to his right. That is Swabek. He's going to take the snap, looking for Brooks off the right tackle. It's going to be a foot race to the sideline, and Brooks is going to get there in time, and he's going to score the touchdown.
So great play. Good play call there from the coaches there. Brooks, really that utility player. They've been using him tonight. He's done a lot of work in the backfield, but it sure is paying off. So Trinity, hey, they're chalking points on the board. It's 27-21, just under 11 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter here. And so the PAT is going to come out here and try to tack on that extra point.
What could be a very important PAT attempt right here by Andrew Day, the lefty kicker for the Trinity Shamrocks. This one is up and awfully close there. Some of the Greyhounds almost got into the backfield right there, but he is able to put it up. So 28-21, we will be right back after station imaging here on 91.3 WHG, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
The Carmel Greyhounds are back in action, and so is the WHJE sports team. But this year is better than ever. John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the same expertise with a new sense of style. We're taking this football season to the edge.
Hey, folks, we're back in action here up at the booth. The student section has done an incredible job tonight. Again, that student body of like near 5,000 kids. And Trinity, I think they're up to 1,500 enrollment. Again, the difference is Trinity is an all-male school, whereas the Greyhounds, of course, are a co-ed school. But both have brought out some good fan base here. Again, 28-21 is the score in favor of the Rocks. 10:44 remaining here, and we're getting set for the kickoff here. It's going to be from Trinity.
of course, to the Greyhounds here.
Will be Perkins and Roberts back deep to return. Andrew Day has been doing an excellent job all game with these kickoffs, pinning Carmel back pretty deep. Even when they've been returning, the kickoff coverage has been pretty good. That one over in the area towards Perkins. That one a little shorter at the 12-yard line. Perkins is going to head up towards the middle of the field. He's going to be brought down short of the 20-yard line.
Perkins didn't really get anything there. Looked like he slipped at the end. Another problem that James has been having as well today in the game. So it looks like it's going to be James who's going to come out now and take the snap. And he's going to, I think he's going to line up in that pistol formation here. They've got Scott on the right side tight end here.
James now with the three wide set. Has two receivers out to his right, and of course, Scott lined up in the tight end position. Pascal in the backfield. 10:39 remaining in the game, trailing by seven. They give it off to Pascal up the middle. That one going absolutely nowhere. Possibly getting back to the line of scrimmage at the most. We'll set up second and ten.
Met by Connor Foose. Again, we've mentioned his name about four times now. I think he's got five tackles for a loss. So Foose doing a great job there, and that line has really stepped up this game.
Perkins will re-enter the game at the tailback position. Same formation for the Carmel Greyhounds. James trying to go with the hard count. We'll look for the extra signal on the sideline from Coach Wright. Approaching 10 minutes remaining. From his own 20-yard line, James directing his offense. Looks to take the snap. He has it. Bobbles that one. Has to fall on top of it. See if the Carmel Greyhounds got it back. Looks like they do. And just like that, it's going to be a third and long situation.
Still a very, very scary play there. That's definitely not a turnover you want to give up. Letting Bonfon work in the red zone right off the bat. And now we're starting to see this Carmel student section get a little more pumped up here, trying to spur their team on to victory. And, of course, none other than John Lampe, the senior, for an obvious passing situation.
That's four wide, three to his right. That one skips past Lampe, but he's still looking to pass. Now he's looking to run with it. He's going to be brought down hard in the backfield at about the 16-yard line. Gets right back up, though, but just like that, a quick three and out by the Carmel Greyhounds offense.
And that's number 21, Santo Biddix, getting in the backfield there off of the bobbled snap.
28-21 will remain the score right now as Kramer's going to have to kick from his own end zone right now. The ball will be snapped from the Carmel's own 12-yard line.
So Drew Chandler is going to receive here for the Shamrocks.
Kramer will take the snap. This one's up and away over towards midfield, immediately calling for the fair catch. Almost bobbles that one, but he's going to have it right at midfield, and that's where Reggie Bonifon and company will take over for this offense.
So very good position for Bonifon coming out here. Going back to that punt, a nice job by Adam Kramer to not do what happened last week where the snap was pretty high. He did get some hands on it, but it went back into the end zone. He just had to kick it out for the safety. But nevertheless, a good job by the Greyhounds there. Even though they went three and out, a tough drive for them. So now Bonifon's got his shot here. He's going to come back under center now.
Be a net of about 37 yards for Kramer as he is going to hand this one off to Brooks off the right tackle. A nice job there by Noah Burks coming up from behind to make that stop. Only about a gain of two.
And I know we've called Burks' name a few times now, but I just want to give him a little player recognition here. Again, a sophomore who's really come alive this game, kind of almost like Conway did last game against Arsenal Tech. But a very fantastic player himself. He kind of came into that CDC level around seventh grade there and really just blossomed into a fantastic player.
Under 8 minutes remaining in this one. Trinity with the lead and possession of the football. They give it to Brooks up the middle. And he's going to be brought down right there. Ryan Sondles with the initial contact on that play.
Sondles in that linebacking core, man. You can't live without him as a defensive coach. I mean, the fact that you've got three captains first off in the backfield. And then you've got quite a bit of depth there, too. It just it gives you so many options on defense. And so now we're hearing the crowd amp it up a little bit. We're seeing some spirit really come out here. Again, folks, 28-21. The Hounds need this stop here. Bonifant does not want one. 7-17 in the game.
He's going to come out the true shotgun formation. He's got two out to his right, one to his left, dropping back to pass. As all day to throw, finds his man. There's Ott once again, the reliable receiver. He's going to be a couple yards over for the first down and move the chains on third.
And so Bonifant there coming up with a nice pass. And then Ott, again, it seems like we've been calling their name simultaneously this entire game. But, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Bonifant's doing a lot more than trying to fix something that's broken. He's totally taking advantage of it.
Approaching 7 minutes. Approaching 7 minutes now. Bonifant and the Trinity Shamrocks is milking this clock down away from the Carmel Greyhounds, looking to score more. He's going to hand it off to Brooks up the middle. He's going to be stopped by Stetson and Burks, the combination.
So a good job there of senior and sophomore to come up big there. And so now Bonifant's going to have to do a little more work here. It's about second and nine. The ball's at about the 33-yard line. Again, folks, we're in Carmel Greyhound territory. 6:37 remaining in the ball game. 28-21 favor of the Rocks. And Bonifant comes out in the shotgun.
From the 32-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds, he has three wide and has two over towards his left with Brooks in the backfield, the true shotgun formation. 6:20 and counting. It looks like we are going to have a penalty flag or a possible timeout here. Getting close to the delay of game area, and they're going to call a timeout. So we're going to take a timeout here for Station Imaging. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
They are just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
A big shout out to the pregame folks here of High School Game Day, Vince Reimer and Riley Sawyer, stepping up big for us today. Just a little reminder that every home game we're going to have that pregame show. We call it High School Game Day. It's kind of trying to build off that College Game Day atmosphere. You can come see us live. You can come hear us. We'll be in the parking lot. Come stop by and see what WHJ is all about here at Student Run Station. We are commercial free. We provide all of the Carmel broadcasts we can. And right now we're in the midst of a pretty good one here.
And Trinity will come out in a second and nine situation in the shotgun. Empty backfield, has three receivers. He's going to take this one. Bonifant up the middle. He's going to be brought down by Ryan Sondels. Once again, Jack Conway also getting in there on the assist on the tackle.
And so now Bonifant's got his work cut out for him because this is a third and seven. Is it manageable? Yes. Is it doable? Yes. Does Bonifant thrive for the third down? Yes. But is Carmel's defense on fire right now? And that is a yes. And that's one that you really don't want it to be a yes.
So it's a power versus power right now. It is 5:50 remaining in this one. A huge third down. A lot of time riding on this one. Just to note right now, timeout situation. Carmel has three remaining. Trinity has two. They're going to come out shotgun formation. Two wide receivers. He moves one out. Brooks, they're coming with the blitz. Davis off the side. He gets it. Brooks cannot hold on to it, and it will be fourth down, and the pressure really dialed up on that one.
And you have to credit the defensive pressure on that one. Not only did Bonifant have two receivers on the left side potentially open now, and again, we're nearing that fourth down, and it looks like Bonifant is going to go for it here. They're giving it to their veteran. They're giving it to the captain, folks. And the crowd is getting a little louder here. They're trying to extend that lead, 28-21 in favor of the Rocks. 5:31 remaining in the game. Bonifant's going to come out now. He's got Brooks to his left. He's rolling out to the left, looking back to the right. Deep pass here. He's got, and it's a touchdown pass. He had Ott in the end zone, and what a breakdown for the Carmel defense.
just one man getting passed right there, and it will be 34-21. Still not a lost cause right now. You got 5:24 remaining, but you're going to need an awfully quick score on your next drive.
And it's a bummer for that Carmel defense, but man, is Bonifon good. I mean, a guy who can come out and almost run that no huddle at fourth down, you know, without letting it get to his mind, without him being conscious of it. You know, now as the PAT looks to be tacked on here, so Carmel's got a lot of work cut out for them now. 5:24 remaining. They're down by two scores, 35-21. So that's going to bring up a new kickoff here. We're going to send it back real quick to another image real fast, and we'll be right back.
For 50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, after that score by the Trinity Shamrocks, your score is 35-21, and they have the advantage right now over the Carmel Greyhounds, who will be receiving this kickoff right here. They have 5 minutes and 24 seconds to work with in all three timeouts to try to get two touchdowns. John, what is the first thing that you are trying to do strategy-wise if you are Carmel?
Obviously, you're going to have to score quickly. You've only got 5 minutes and 24 seconds here to do anything. You got to air it out, and I think you got to do with what's working. And I think John Lampe in the passing game is working. Air it out, give him some throws, really open up that defense. They got an incredible receiving core.
And the kickoff is away. That one is way back towards Roberts, who takes it at about the 5-yard line. Roberts is going to take it up the middle. He's away at the 40-yard line. It's a foot race now. At the opposite 40, he is going to be gone and away. That was going to be a return kickoff for the Carmel Greyhounds, and Austin Roberts has put him back into the football game.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is why. That is why Austin Roberts is a D1 player. That is why Alabama was looking at the number one team in the nation, wanted Austin Roberts, and he will be playing at UCLA next season. And I'll tell you, if I am on that UCLA program, I am licking my chops. What an incredible way for the Greyhounds to come back quickly. And I guess, Jesse, if you're asking me what my game plan is, let Roberts catch it again next kickoff and let him get him back in this game, folks. Folks, it's 5-12. It's still a ball game, folks. 35-27. Can Kramer make it 28 here at the PAT?
A big PAT right here as this one is up. And that one will be good. Kramer, perfect 4-4 tonight, 35-28. And just like that, when things started to look grim, you go to your biggest guy, Austin Roberts, who has been somewhat silent tonight. They've done a great job with the double coverages, but you can't double cover on a kickoff, obviously, and he comes out, storms out, and we saw just a different speed right there as he was coming up at about the 30-yard line and took off on a completely other gear, it seemed like.
And that's where that incredible 40 time from Austin Roberts comes into play, when he's just got that dead sprint. When he gets away right at the 40-yard line and he's gone, and you just see the Trinity kickoff team there almost just die inside there, and just it's tough for Bonifon, who comes out and is playing so well and is staying true to that status quo of Trinity football. But hey, just another testament to the great athleticism of Austin Roberts. And now, folks, these Greyhounds are still in this ball game. And so now Trinity has an opportunity to do the same thing here. But with a guy like Kramer kicking it off, he might be able to pin them deep.
Carmel with three timeouts to work with right now. 5:12 remaining, as you just mentioned. Austin Roberts putting them right back into this one with only about 12 seconds running off the clock and 7 points on the board. And it looks like a possible onside kick. And they're going to put this one up. That one bounces away. The ball is on the ground, but Trinity is going to come up with the recovery right here. made contact with one of the Shamrock players, but no Greyhound in the area right there.
And I really, really love that play call, if it works. And the problem is now you've just given Reggie Bonifon the ball at your 47-yard line. And, folks, there's 5 minutes and 9 seconds remaining, and the Shamrocks are up by one score. And so it's risky. If it pays off, you're a hero. If it doesn't, you're zero. And so now that defense of the Greyhounds has to step up here.
Empty backfield, so you know what he's probably going to do with it in this situation, looking for the screen to Brooks, and that one off of his fingertips, a little bit wide on the throw there from Bonifon. So second and 10, and the clock stops at 5:06.
And it's not something we're used to seeing. Bonifon a little off, and Brooks can't reel it in. Safe to say they might have heard some footsteps. Might be the pressure getting to him. It sure doesn't feel like a one-score lead. It sure feels like Trinity is down at this point in the game. That's sure how they're playing. Both playing very aggressive, and Bonifon's going to come out empty.
Sandville showing blitz off the right side. Again, empty backfield, as you just mentioned. He's going to run with it this time off the right side. He's going to barrel through at about the 41-yard line. So a very modest gain right there of about 5-6 yards, setting up a third and manageable huge play here for the Greyhounds defense.
Hey, but what a great, great play call there by the Shamrocks there. They saw blitz from Sandals on the right side. And where does Bonifon take it? He takes it to the left side of the field, of course. Very wise play. Yes, it was modest. We're starting to hear the crowd get into it again. This is a big third down, folks. This could be the stop that the Greyhounds are looking for.
So third and four, 4:28 remaining. True shotgun formation, four wide, three to his left with Brooks in the backfield. And he is going to keep this one up the middle, and he's going to have the first down across the 35-yard line. Bonifon hiding that option quite well.
Yeah, I mean, just give it to Bonifon and let him work. Let him do something. Let him take the play into his hands. He's done it so many times before, and it's turned out well for the Rocks. Just another great testament to the athleticism and the skill and also the decision-making of Reggie Bonifon.
So 4:10, the clock keeps ticking away right now, and obviously in this situation, Reggie Bonifon is in no hurry to get this play called off right now, but he has 10 seconds remaining on the play clock. 4 minutes remaining in the game and counting. Carmel still with three timeouts. First and 10 from the Hounds 34-yard line. The handoff to Brooks is over towards the right tackle. He's going to be brought down across the 30-yard line, close to the 27.
So another little modest gain there. And it looks like we're going to have an injury timeout here as the trainers sprint on the field. We're going to send it back here for a quick line or quick intro as these players take a knee.
WHJE boasts years of pride and tradition. From the booth to the field, the WHJE sports team keeps you on the edge of your seats. Now, the tradition continues. Join Vince Reimer, Riley Sawyers, John Perkins, and Jesse Smith at halftime for the Greyhound Halftime Show on 91.3 WHJE.
You know, we've talked a lot about this linebacking core for the Greyhounds, but we haven't really done a good job of mentioning any of those linebackers for Trinity here. And it looks like it's going to be 43, excuse me, on this injury timeout. Conway is going to, thankfully, he's going to walk off the field here, but he is shaken up a little bit. We don't want to speculate on the injury, but he looks to be okay. And so now play is going to resume going back to the linebacking core now. Keep an eye out for number 53, Ben Inch, for Trinity. He's had a great game as well on that linebacking side of things.
3:30 and counting left in this one. Trinity leading by 7, 35-28, as he will have three wide receivers out to his left. Bonifon in the pistol formation. Brooks in the backfield, second and four off the setup, off the Greyhound 28. And he's going to give it to Brooks off the left tackle. He's going to be stopped short of the first down, right close to the line of scrimmage. And a good job there by Landon Sinnes and company, who just recently came to the game, and Kendall Hume chasing down the ball carrier.
Good job by Sinnes. Sinnes has been a pretty good player. He's gotten much more meaty this year, really packed on some good pounds. He is a junior. He's kind of small. But a nice tackle there. And so Bonifon's got another third down here. This one's third down short, about 3 or 4 yards. Again, the ball is being set on about the 29-yard line. 2:44 remaining in the ballgame, folks.
He's going to have three wide receivers out to his right side from the Carmel 28 true shotgun formation with Brooks. He is going to give it off to Brooks, and it's a foot race. He has a first down and more across the 20-yard line. Breaks a tackle. He's still on his feet. He's going to be close to the end zone, but he's going to be brought down just short, probably inside the 1 yard line it appears to be right now. First and goal for Trinity.
Brandon Todd there, number 42, with the final takedown there, but not before Brooks was able to get through the likes of Alex Akins. So a nice run there by Brooks. He's a pretty deadly running back. He doubles really nicely in the slot as well. And here's something unusual. We're going to see Bonifon come out with that I formation.
The I formation from the 1 yard line. Bonifon is going to try to give it off to Brooks. Brooks looking for the outside. Akins with the initial stop, and he's going to be forced out of bounds right there by Mitch Lindgren. So nice stop there on first and goal.
Good job of Alex Akins to win this little victory here. He's really bursted himself into a great player there as a sophomore. But a good job. He plays that cornerback position really, really well. So he's had a nice job this game of really stepping up. We're going to see number 34 jog off the field for Trinity. That is Jalen Reed. He's the backup running back for Donald Brooks. And it looks like they're going to bring in number 8, C.J. Ott.
So they're going to come out with a two-wide set, both of them out to his left in the shotgun. Bonifon looking to run this time. He's not going to get there into the end zone. Actually brought down close to the 3-yard line, losing a couple that time. Will be third and goal, another third down here. They've been converting throughout this entire drive as Kendall Hune will come in to provide some stability up the middle for the Greyhound defense.
And a good stop there by the Greyhounds. They're doing a great job. That was Vic Rowe. A very solid senior. He's one of the bigger players on the team. Captain himself in his own regards. Plays that nose guard position. And a big guy to get around. And no one was getting around him on that one. So now Bonifon, he's going to look to the sideline here, try to get that sign. I think they're going to call a little bit of a timeout here. Yep. So Trinity is going to call a timeout. We're going to take a little break ourselves.
The action. The sound. The pride. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE as John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the sound of the hounds. WHJE, your trusted source of Carmel football.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds. I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. There's a minute 39 remaining in the ball game. For those of you just tuning in, you've missed quite the game. It's been back and forth, a high-scoring ball game, 35-28 right now in favor of the Trinity Shamrocks from Louisville, Kentucky. And, of course, the Greyhounds tonight have been playing pretty well and have really begun to open up their offense and really settle into some shoes, Jesse.
Absolutely, and it will be 35-28, as you just mentioned, the score. A very close game back and forth. But a third and goal from the 4-yard line. This is quite possibly the game right here. Carmel needs one more stop. They've been very efficient on third down. Talking about Trinity, of course. Empty backfield, and as soon as I say that, he puts Brooks in motion. True shotgun. He's going to fake it to Brooks. Takes it himself up the middle, and he's going to be into the end zone for the touchdown. And again, Reggie Bonifon is going to make it 41-28.
And that was Sondles there getting juked out of his mind, as well as Akins. So the defense looking quite dejected over there. So another score here, and Bonifon just keeps coming back. It's 41-28 now. Not what the Greyhounds wanted. We're going to see Andrew Day come on now and try to tack on one more. Again, minute 34. Here's the PAT. It's going to be good. So 42-28 in favor of Trinity, and now we're starting to see the stands empty a little bit. Sadly enough, it was a great game. The scoreboard right now does not reflect the play of both teams, but again, a great
Great drive there by Bonifon to not only put 7 points on the board at the end, but also to milk a lot of time off that clock.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned, I think the time is more important in that situation, but the score at the end really ices the game for them. But 412 yards of total offense for the Trinity Shamrocks as the Carmel Greyhounds will come out right now for a kickoff return. Who, anything goes right now at this point. Austin Roberts took it back on the last one. Carmel still with 3 timeouts in this situation, but Trinity taking complete control as it appears right now.
And again, only 186 total yards for the Greyhounds today. That statistic does not reflect the gameplay of the offense, especially when they don't have a quarterback like Reggie Bonifon.
And also you have to take in consideration a lot of their scoring drives were given to them by their defense in great field position, as here is the squib kick. That one is going to be taken up by one of the non-returners for the Greyhounds at about the 30-yard line, and Lampy and the offense will trot out onto the field with about a minute 26 remaining in the game.
And so Lampy now has a shot to kind of air it out a little bit, do some things here, and maybe kind of shake it up a little bit. He's only got a minute 26, like you said, Jesse. Not much you can do, 42-28. But hey, stranger things have happened in football games. Too bad we're not playing basketball, because we'd have Reggie Miller's incredible comebacks on our side here as Indiana boys. But nonetheless, you've got John Lampy in there.
4 wide, split the difference. Perkins in the backfield, looking over the middle for Pearson, and that one is almost, you're going to see, possibly intercepted. Waiting for the initial call. Carmel's offense staying out there, and it will be ruled incomplete for 2nd and 10.
And that was, I guess you can say, an interception by number 7, Cannon Jackson.
So a minute 20 remaining, 2nd and 10. Carmel really trying to air it out right now. Well deep, looking like 20, 25 yards down the field. Same formation right now. They're going to go 4 wide, split the difference on the receivers. Trinity playing prevent defense, and he's going to be sacked for a loss right there. That looks to be number 96, Connor Foos. That has to be at least 3 on the game for him. That moves Carmel back, and the clock just keeps ticking away right now as we approach a minute to go.
And credit Connor Foos on that one for potentially the game-ending sack there. So Lampy trying to do anything he can to put some points on the board, but we're under the one-minute mark.
We're going to go 4 wide, 3 to his left. Lampy dropping back. Hearing footsteps, that one over the middle. It's going to be intercepted by Trinity. They're going to be taking this one back. Let's see if Carmel gives any chase, and Chris Perkins will come up with the tackle. That is number 27, Will Washley. And that should just about wrap this one up. And a big win for Trinity to come back after that loss last week on the road. 42-28 with 38 seconds remaining in the turnover.
So now we see a flag on the field. And we're going to get the call here. It looks like a personal foul clipping on Trinity.
Will be a roughing the passer penalty against Trinity. So actually, Carmel will keep possession, but still with only 38 seconds remaining. Not much for the Carmel offense to work with, but a couple more plays against one of the nation's best teams. Yeah, we talk about game reps a lot. Never hurts to try it a couple more times against a defense that's not really your own.
So now Lampy, like you said, is going to have some of those reps. They're going to put Baldridge in the slot to the left here, which normally when Baldridge is coming before, you think it's a little screen, but not today. Not today. Baldridge has done an incredible job himself. So now a little bit of commotion here on the line. So the referee is talking to that offense, and Lampy's going to trot on over to the sideline here, have a little discussion with Coach Wright. Again, reminder that Coach Wright is the head coach, but Brian Spielbeller does quite a bit of play calling. So between those two, you got a lot of experience there.
So we'll be 1st and 10 from the Carmel 45-yard line. Now they're moving them back a little bit to the 40-yard line, having that discussion, the referees, as you were mentioning, over the ball spot. So we'll be at the 40-yard line after that roughing the passer penalty. 38 seconds in counting for Carmel. 4 wide, 3 to his left. Perkins in the backfield, playing prevent defense again, trying to air this one way deep to Thomas Baldwin, who comes down with a catch at the 30-yard line. That'll stop the clock with 32 seconds remaining. So a very nice gain right there for this offense.
Great defense there by Justin Crabtree as well to do his pretty much the best he can. But Baldwin coming up with a great catch. Clock is stopped here at 32.8 seconds. That won't last long. Lampy's got to get set real fast. And the pistol, he's got three to his right, Baldwin to his left.
He's going to take this snap, looking back, fires that one over the middle of Pearson. That one is going to be incomplete, only would have been about a gain of 6 yards.
And, you know, there's not much you can do right now, but you got to complete those passes. You know, I mean, it, like you said, it is reps. It is yardage. Coming off of that interception there, you got to start making some completions here, especially when you got a guy wide open on that slant.
Same formation for the Hounds from the Trinity 28-yard line. He's dropping back to pass under pressure immediately. He's going to have to run with this one over the middle. He's going to be brought down at about the 22 for a gain of about 6 yards. Clock keeps running, and now it looks like Carmel is going to take a timeout right here with about 18 seconds remaining in this one.
So I like the tenacity here of the Greyhounds. I don't want to say anything just in case it backfires on me and I get that announcer syndrome like we talked about before. But with 18 seconds left, Jesse, is there anything you can really do?
At this point, you could possibly take a couple shots towards the end zone to get those kind of reps in a game situation where later in the season you might have to make that kind of play. You know, late in the game where, you know, maybe it's only a one-score game rather than a two-score game in the situation they're in now. That could come in a tournament later. That's how the season ended last year in a very similar field position like this. Again, game reps. Anytime you can try something new, try out a situation that you normally wouldn't in practice, it's valuable to your team.
You know, and even saying this, 18 seconds is a lot of time. I mean, it isn't, but it is. And if Lampy can connect here and possibly get a score, that onside kick that almost worked before, I mean, the possibilities are endless, you know. Are they probable? Not much, but...
They do have two timeouts.
They do have two timeouts, and you never want to be at a position where you said we could have.
Exactly.
We didn't try, you know.
Play to the last second. Carmel Greyhounds out there with four wide, waiting on the officials right now. 18.1 is the official clock. It is third down and about five for the Carmel Greyhounds. He will come out in the signature pistol formation.
And the captain over there, Nate Thompson. The man who holds the ball and snaps it over there to John Lampy, kind of that quiet personality, yet a big leader on the team. They're going to put 21 seconds here on the clock. But calming Lampy down here, saying, Lampy, it's okay, we got it.
Lampy will take the snap, dropping back, has time to throw this time. Baldwin in the end zone, pulls it down for the touchdown. Incredible catch in traffic. And that's going to be a quick score for the Carmel Greyhounds. 6-4 points on the board to make it 42-34.
And that's the kind of pass that is going to keep John Lampy at number one of the depth chart right there. The kind of pass that only Thomas Baldwin can make. We can go on and on about that play there. But, Jesse, like we just literally said a few seconds ago, it can happen. A quick score now. Tack on an extra point here. And Baldwin jogging back out after his touchdown to hold for Adam Kramer. Stranger things have happened, Jesse.
Absolutely. Going to take a quote there from my former colleague Zach Mandel from last year. Crazier things have happened in sports. Is that one is up and good to make it 42-35. So obviously the onside kick is going to be coming up. Carmel with two timeouts left in this situation. The special teams have been kind to the Greyhounds so far tonight. With that kickoff return that we saw earlier from Robertson, the punting game has been pretty on par so far tonight with Adam Kramer. Could have had a couple iffy plays there, but he was able to recover and put off some really solid punts. So good game for him to come back after last week.
And now the Greyhounds here have a shot that we didn't think they did. So with 16 seconds remaining in the ballgame, folks, it's far from over, but we might be closer than we think. 42-35 in favor of the Rocks. The Hounds are down, remember. And it looks like it's going to be an onside kick here
from the Greyhounds.
So if you're going to assemble a hands team from the Carmel Greyhounds roster, who are you putting out there?
I mean, that's a tough one because the one thing that the Greyhounds have are hands, and they've got a lot of them. I mean, I'm talking about the likes of Josh Abiquiu, who's got incredible hands, Thomas Baldwin, you know, Austin Roberts, and then even the defensive secondary is quite good, too. So here's the onside kick. Let's see what the outcome is.
16 seconds remaining. Last chance for Carmel on the onside kick attempt. Kramer, they're going to stack up on the left side. Kramer puts this one up. That one hits around. That one bouncing around, still on the field. Sinis is going to fall on it for the Carmel Greyhounds. And the Carmel Greyhounds will have possession of the football.
And ladies and gentlemen, this game just got crazy. Landon Sinis coming up big for the Greyhounds. Now, here's the deal. Did the ball go 10 yards before it was touched? The referees are having a little bit of a conversation here, but folks, I think that it's going to be an encroachment there. And the student section sure doesn't like it, but folks, I kind of agree. I think that's a very good call by the referees. It's a game-changing call, but you got to call it fair.
Absolutely. I mean, it was what it was in that situation. But they let it play out through the end of the play, but Bonifon's going to come out into victory formation with 15 seconds left. He's going to take the kneel. And that should do it here from Carmel Stadium as Trinity will escape with the victory here. Both teams now 1-1 on the season.
And escape is the right word to use, folks. The score, final score, 42-35 in favor of the Trinity Shamrocks. Quite a game, folks. Thanks for tuning in to WHJE. I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. Stay tuned for some more tunes. But also a big thank you to all the people who sponsor the station and make it happy. Be sure to check out next week as the Greyhounds take on Center Grove. And we do have the pregame show at 6 o'clock. We'll send it back to the station now for some more tunes. Thanks for listening.